I want to welcome you again to another devotion. Thank you for joining us again. And I'm going to read just two passages from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. And we're going to discuss the church, its relationship with Christ, and also the Old Testament Jew, the Old Testament saved Gentile, and the saved tribulation saint, and the millennial saint. Kind of course, I'm not going to go into great detail. We got 15 minutes. I'm not going to go into great detail on the passages. So I may not actually quote all the passages as I try to do in these devotions. I'm just going to kind of be a little bit more general today. So let's go to Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse number 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Now, this is Jesus speaking. You see the I am there. There are seven I ams in the book of John. There are seven I ams in the book of Revelation. So this I am is a key opening up the speaker. The I am here is Jesus Christ. He says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Now, as we follow the passage of Song of Solomon, you're going to find that he's talking about this one love. Now, Solomon's the writer here, and we're going to find out in the book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 4, 1 Kings chapter 10, we're going to find out in Solomon's reign, Solomon has 300 wives, 700 concubines. And so the Song of Solomon mentions all of these. We'll find in the book of Solomon, the daughters are mentioned, the concubines are mentioned, and this one love is mentioned. And so all of these have a reference to Solomon, and it also has a reference. Solomon is one of the greatest types of Jesus Christ in the Bible. And so if we take the words concubines, the word daughters, there's a couple more that I'm not thinking of for the moment. But if we take these words, we're going to find that Jesus Christ has a relationship with his one love. Then he has a relationship with his concubines. Then he has relationships with the daughters of Jerusalem. And so we find that God has a relationship not only with the church, but he also has a relationship with others as well. But here in Song of Solomon, he's talking about his special love, obviously, for the church. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27 talks about this, about his love, how Adam and Eve's love for one another represents, or Adam and Eve represents the love that Christ has for the church. And so he uses Adam and Eve and the husband of the relationship of a husband to a wife to a relationship of Jesus Christ to the church. If we go to the book of Galatians, we find that Jerusalem is the mother of all Christians, and that Jerusalem is the wife, is the bride of Jesus Christ. You'll find that in the book of Galatians. And so there's intimation in the Bible. And again, as I said in the very, very, very outset, that I don't have all the verses together, but it's very interesting when you look at Jesus' relationship with the church and his relationship with the Jews and his relationship with the Gentiles in the millennial kingdom. There's apparently a difference in how Jesus Christ has a relationship with us as Christians and how his relationship is with the Jews or the Gentiles, okay? Always understand that the Bible has three classifications after the church was called out. The three classifications in the Bible is Jew, Gentile, and church. The church is the one body of Christ, spiritually, comprised of both Jews and Gentiles, or any and all races. And so if somebody is saved today, you're a part of the church. And so according to the Bible, you're not considered a Gentile. That is, a Gentile is considered an unsaved person outside of the body of Christ. That is a Gentile. If you're in the body, if you're saved, you're a part of the body. So you're neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, man, you know, male or female. You're in the body of Christ. And so somebody outside of the body who's not saved is a Gentile. Now, God has a plan for the Gentiles. Okay, and again, we don't have a whole bunch of time to go into all of the details regarding this, but there's a future plan for the Gentiles, and there's also a plan for the Jews. And so God has three distinct peoples that he's dealing with in the Bible after the church has been called out. And he only had two bodies he dealt with before the church was called out. He had Jew and Gentile he was dealing with. But when the church was called out, there came a third person involved here, and that is the church of God. And so here Jesus Christ has a special relationship with his church than he does with the Jew. Now, in the book of Jeremiah, the Bible says that God had loved Israel with an everlasting love. God still has a relationship with the Jew. Matter of fact, if we were to draw the references, we probably could come to the conclusion that the Jews are the bride of the Father, and the church is a bride of Christ. And the Father has written a bill of divorcement to the Jews, but they will be restored again unto him before the millennial kingdom, so that they will be reunited in marriage once again. But in the context of the church, we are the bride of Christ. And so as being the bride of Christ, we see that Jesus laid down a new law for marriage. Remember that? Jesus laid down a new law for marriage. He said it wasn't so in the beginning. In the beginning, God made them male and female. He said Moses wrote a bill of divorcement out of the hardness of your hearts. Okay, and so in the Old Testament, we have a clear reference to a bill of divorcement, and it doesn't include anything. It's just if you're not happy with your spouse, or you know, if you're not happy with her, just you know, write a bill of divorcement. And so Jesus told them that in the New Testament, since that wasn't the case. And so we see that marriage in the New Testament is a lot different than marriage in the Old Testament. So the Father writes his bride a bill of divorcement because he has every right to, but in the New Testament, we don't have a bill of divorcement. Okay, we're in the body of Christ, and we're married to Jesus Christ, and so we have a special relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can find this also, and we've made reference to this, I think, a couple of days ago, but just to reemphasize again, remember when Jesus had his disciples? He had many disciples other than the 12. He loved them, but he had a special love for the 12, and then he had the inner three with Peter, James, and John. Almost said a Peter Piper picked a pick of peppers. All right, but he had a special relationship with Peter, James, and John, and then he had a very special relationship with John. That's why I say John becomes the type of the church. There's a special relationship that Jesus has with the church that it becomes one. I mean, literally, the Bible says we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones. We are married to Jesus just like Adam and Eve were married, and they were flesh of their flesh, and one's flesh and bone. She was bone of his bones. And so in like manner, you and I have a intimate relationship with Christ that the Jews will never have. We have an intimate relationship with Christ that the Gentiles will never have. And so I guess interestingly, I'll kind of wrap this up by saying that it's very likely, as we study the Bible, especially when you get into Revelation 22 and Revelation 21, you start studying all this, you'll realize that there's going to be some people living on this earth through the millennium reign. Of course, we've covered this before. They have flesh and blood, but they'll continue to have children. And the Bible seems to intimate, and we'll discuss this again further as we go forward at some point in the future, that the Gentiles one day will occupy heavens. The heavens, okay? That'll be for the Gentiles. The Jews are going to occupy the earth, okay? And we're talking about through most likely through eternity, okay? The new heaven and new earth will be created for the Jews, and this is where they'll live. And then the heavens. When we talk about the heavens, we're talking about planets and things of that nature. The Gentiles will occupy the heavens. And then especially the New Jerusalem is going to come down. And there's no reference at all that the Jew or Gentile is going to dwell in the New Jerusalem. So God has prepared this New Jerusalem to come down out of heaven after he is, after the white throne judgment, after the earth has been destroyed and the new earth has been remade. And the New Jerusalem is going to come out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And so when this New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven, this is going to be the dwelling place of all those who are part of the body of Christ. All those who are Christians in this age will dwell in the New Jerusalem, especially created for us. And so I think there's a lot of Bible verses to support this type of thing, because clearly, distinctly, God's dealing with three different types of people. Therefore, he would give them three different types of rewards based upon how he works through these three different people. And so in closing, the main thrust of what we're talking about is the fact that God has a special relationship with the church. He has a special relationship with the Jew, and he has a special relationship with all the Gentiles who will go into the millennial kingdom. Okay. And the reason they go in the millennial kingdom, because they have not taken the mark of the beast. They have also helped support. If you read Matthew chapter 25, and you read the conditions for the Gentiles being saved in the tribulation period, one of the things is, have you given a drink to one of Jesus' brothers? Have you given food to Jesus' brothers? Now, when the Bible is talking about that, it's talking about Jesus' physical brothers. Okay? In other words, the Gentiles are going to be given an opportunity. The Gentile nations and Gentiles, individual Gentiles, are going to be given the opportunity to support the Jews as they're fleeing the Antichrist. And so the Jews are going to be protected, of course, in a city called Petra, which is near the Dead Sea. They're going to be protected, but the fact is, the Gentiles are going to have to give them support during this time as the world tries to annihilate the Jewish nation, because the Jewish nation belongs to God. The Bible calls them the children, they're the sons and daughters of Israel. And Israel, as a nation, is the son of the Father as a nation. And so, in that respect, God is trying to save Israel, but they're being persecuted. The world is trying to annihilate them through the Antichrist. And so the Gentiles who give them drink and food, who protect them, will be able to go into the millennial kingdom. That's salvation for the Gentile in the tribulation period. They have to believe in Jesus, of course, but they also have to help the Jew out. And so again, we've discussed this before. The nature of salvation is different than the tribulation. We have the temple restored. The Mosaic law has been restored, and the Jew is supposed to keep the Mosaic law again. Today, that is not the case. Everybody's to join the church and get saved. Not join the church, but get saved so they can be in the body of Christ. But those outside of the body of Christ who go in the tribulation have a chance to be saved by taking care of the Jew. And so those who take care of the Jew during the tribulation period, those who don't take the mark, they go into the millennial kingdom without a new body. You and I will have a new body as Christians. We're going to be like Christ. We're going to have His body. But there's going to be Gentiles in the new kingdom that do not have Christ's body. They have a natural body. And they have to live by eating of the tree of life. Okay, you can find this in Revelation chapter 22. They have to eat the tree of life to live. You remember the whole situation in the Garden of Eden in Genesis? They were kicked out of the garden. The cherub guarded the tree of life. Okay? Well, everything goes in a circle. Everything goes in a circle. The beginning comes back to the end. Again, we find again the tree of life showing up in Revelation. And there are people that have to eat the tree of life to have eternal life. Now, that is not our salvation. Our salvation is through Jesus Christ. All we have to do is ask Jesus Christ to come into our body. He comes in and lives inside of us, and we have eternal life forever. But that is not the case in Revelation. That is not the case in the millennial kingdom. That is not the case probably even after that, throughout eternity. This tree of life is here so that people can eat of it and keep their life, because again, they don't have the new body that you and I have. So that's just, you know, that would be an interesting study as we go forward. The main thrust of this, to understand that God has different relationships, just like Solomon had different relationships. Again, as a type of Christ, Solomon had concubines. He had the daughters of Jerusalem, and he had his one love. And so, just like Solomon had these different people, Jesus Christ likewise has these different people. He has a Jew, the Gentile, and he has a church. And so always remember that God loves the Jews and God loves the Gentiles. But the fact is, God loves his body, his church, with a special love. And so you're in a day and age today where you can become a part of his body. You can be literally married to Jesus Christ spiritually, and one day physically, when you enjoy his presence in heaven. And so I invite you, if you're not saved, to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. It's very simple. You're a sinner. He died and buried and rose again so that you could be saved. If you ask him to come into your heart, the Bible says that he will. Whosoever calleth, the Bible says, whosoever will drink of the life freely can come unto me, and he will not cast you out. It's very simple. Just confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. I hope you've enjoyed again another devotion today. I hope it's blessed you. May God bless you. And we'll do this again tomorrow. Have a great day.